This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's been beautiful and so rewarding, and I can't believe that people that we've never met before have been messaging us on socials and sharing their stories and, pardon the pun, but confiding in us.
Yeah.
Hey lovers, welcome to Kylie Behind the Scenes, the show where two Kylie Minogue superfans delve deep into her ever-evolving wardrobe and discuss the amazing costumes and what they mean to us. I'm Owen, people know me as Owen Minogue.
And my name is German Bold Italic. Sorry, oh, it isn't. My name is Joe, as you're all aware by now, but German Bold Italic is a Kylie song, and we've been holding that joke for the entire podcast series. We just wanted to please, it is a great song, but we just wanted to please some of the hardcore fans. So now that we've done that.
Got that off our chest, yeah. Joe, what have you got for us today?
Well, we're looking at a costume that is actually my favourite of all time, in fact. So let me tell you, today we're looking at the pink showgirl costume from Showgirl the Homecoming Tour.
Awesome, and it's so beautiful as well.
It really is. I would have come up with a creative intro, but there is a whole lot of look with this costume. With that,
let's get to it.
Just to begin though, before we get into it properly and give you the full deep dive, go and check out the show notes and you'll be able to see the kind of details and construction methods and colours and measurements and all of the finer details that really are beneficial when discussing this look,
because
there is a whole lot of look to go with it. So with that bit of housekeeping done, awesome. Let me give an outline of what the entire look is. It's a showgirl costume, obviously, designed by esteemed international designer John Galliano.
Yes.
Master at his craft. And it was for the opening act titled Homecoming from Kylie's Showgirl Homecoming Tour, as I said. And that was in 2006.
That's right, yeah.
The costume consists of a beaded corset and knickers, ostrich feather bustle, feather boa, feather headdress, three bracelets, and a pair of matching shoes also designed by John Galliano.
I was just going to say, and you're not lying when you say it's a whole lot of look.
Yeah, lots to cover. So with that, and really we could spend an entire episode just discussing the sort of finer details and construction. Within the bodice and corset, it really is the hero of this costume.
Yeah.
Heavily boned with sort of 12 sort of pieces or panels that it creates, and it's even more heavily beaded over the entire front of the costume.
Yeah.
Features pink apricot plastic shells and other sort of shapes and sequins, bugle beads. There's smaller sequins on the waistline that are in like a opalescent sort of pink and amethyst color, and there are Swarovski crystals basically wherever there isn't anything else.
Kylie is Swarovski. She should be the face of the brand.
Absolutely. And the bustle, constructed of 11 feather boa sort of tails, if you want to call them that.
Yep.
So which is probably the other sort of hero piece in the costume.
Yeah, because you need a bustle when it's
absolutely. And probably the thing of note within them is that there's sort of these opalescent little strands within the feathers that sort of look like tinsel.
Tinsel, yeah.
Yeah, so when she's on stage, you get these like little flecks and sparkles within the feathers as well.
And I never knew that until we actually went in, we saw it up close, that there are those tiny details,
and if you have been following carefully and you've been checking the podcast all along, there is promo on the Arts Centre Melbourne Instagram.
Yes.
So go and check that out and you can see the sort of behind the scenes look that we got, and this costume is featured in that.
Yeah.
And then probably the final hero piece, because it's a look of hero pieces, is the incredible headdress.
Yes.
Which is the showgirl moment.
Crown.
Really? Yeah. Absolutely a crown. Again, the feathers like the bustle and bolero with the tinsel within it. And then the shaping of the headdress sort of forms peaks. There's one that comes to the front, and then on the sides are there is like cutout sections as well.
Where her ears, they kind of drop down looking like earrings.
That's right. Yeah. There are sort of like a teardrop glass bead kind of thing. With that, there is a crown of feathers across a central band. It's sort of like a mohawk, so it's done in that kind of a direction across the head.
Like a gladiator type.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then, of course, just to hold it in place, there's a nude strap with a sort of beaded cover strap, and all the beading on the headdress matches what's happening in the corset. And the final part of the look are the shoes that were also designed by John Galliano, yeah. And they are sort of a apricot leather and have diamantes on the heel and around the platform as well. And they're also, there's just a little fun fact, there's some gold hand painting done on them as well.
Oh, so okay. Been
touch-ups, and at some point they were also resold. So S-O-L-E, not O-L-D. Yeah, so obviously perfectly illustrates the kind of wear and tear that goes into a costume.
Yeah.
So now that you're familiar with what it actually looks like, to set some context for the showgirl costume, it's basically how we've all come to know Kylie. She's known as Australia's showgirl. She's
the ultimate showgirl to me.
Yeah. Absolutely, I would agree with that. So she first introduced us to that persona with I Should Be So Lucky at the Intimate and Live Tour. If you've seen it, there's a moment where there's a K on the stage and she comes out and joins that.
Yeah.
And then also there was the Olympics moment where she did the whole ABBA performance.
It was kind of recreated that look.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Just on a much more elevated scale. And there was the blue showgirl costume from the original Showgirl Greatest Hits tour. And then, of course, it culminates in this pink version of the showgirl costume as well.
Yeah. So the showgirl tours are absolutely incredible. Joe, can you let our listeners know why there was two costumes and why they came about?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you don't know, there is a blue version of a showgirl costume that was in a tour directly before this one called Showgirl The Greatest Hits Tour. And Kylie had arrived in Australia and was literally days out from ready to perform show one. Mm-hmm. And there was a press conference held by Michael Gudinski, and he basically broke the news to the world that Kylie had been diagnosed with breast cancer.
I still remember where I was at that moment, and I kind of, God, I didn't really think I'd come emotional, but I still remember where I was working at that time. Yeah. And a friend of mine worked at a local radio station and had messaged me because he knew how much I was looking forward to this show, and he said, show's been postponed due to health reasons. And I thought, he knows how much I love Kylie, and I thought that he was just pulling my leg or trying to stooge me.
Yeah.
And I said, no, can't be. He goes, no, it's going to be postponed for a while. And I remember telling my boss, and she goes, okay, we're turning on the radio. And when the news came out, it was heartbreaking because she was so young, and a lot of people said that as well. How can this happen to somebody? She's so young. That doesn't happen to people her age. And yeah, it's just one of those moments where you know where you were, pardon me, you know where you were at the time. Sorry to take you off track there, but it was terrifying. I couldn't imagine how terrifying it would have been for her, but even just for a fan to hear that. And it's like people always say when somebody of a certain stature passes or gets ill, people go, why are you so emotional about it for? Yeah. But until it happens to somebody that you absolutely admire and look up to, it's like it's affected a family member.
Yeah, it hits you personally because you're so invested.
Yeah, exactly right. Sorry to sidetrack you there.
No, not
at
all.
Get myself together.
And you're right. I think if that moment is true for many fans, we all do remember where we were when we heard that news.
Yeah.
There's this thing that became known as the Kylie effect.
And
it was reported in the media after her diagnosis. And it was essentially that mammogram screenings had increased as a result of the sort of publicity surrounding her ordeal and what she was through.
Because a lot of people thought that it only happened to older women. So a lot of younger women, and even breast cancer affects men as well. So a lot of people were checking in and being self-aware and getting checked. Yeah, I do remember that coming up, but I couldn't remember the exact title of it. Yeah.
Well, so much so that the Medical Journal of Australia sort of did a study on it. And I actually have a quote from there. And it says that there was a 20-fold increase in news coverage of breast cancer, which emphasised that young women do get breast cancer and that early detection was critical. And overall screening bookings rose 40% in the 2 weeks of the publicity, with a 101% increase in non-screen women in the eligible age group of 40 to 69 years. And then 6 weeks after the publicity, bookings remained at more than a third higher in non-screened women.
Wow.
Yeah, so it really did. I mean, it had a massive impact, and so much so that they even recommend that health advocates should have anticipatory strategies for whenever a celebrity announces an illness. Just to be prepared for the kind of level of interest and
infrastructure self-awareness
that you're going to require. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Wow. I had no idea about that. Wow.
Whew. You good?
Yeah. I'm good. That's just, those stats are mind-blowing.
yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
So with that then, fast forward through the obvious public reaction and Kylie's treatment and recovery. And 18 months later or so, we had the Showgirl Homecoming Tour, which is how we got this costume.
Yeah.
Kylie herself on stage that opening night, once she'd made it back to the stage, had cheekily referred to herself being fashionably late. And as she said, and I mean fashionably.
Yeah.
and it really was. It was an absolute moment.
Yeah, I still remember in Melbourne when, obviously being her hometown, when she came up from under the stage and the little pedestal that she was on turned around and she faced the audience. That moment, that standing ovation, that cheer was electric, and she just sat there. I think it would have been for a good 5 minutes. Yeah, no kidding.
It felt like that.
Sucked in all of that energy. Wow. It was incredible.
So then with the tour itself, Kylie had mentioned that she didn't want to redo exactly what had been done in the previous incarnation of the Showgirl tour.
Yeah.
And she said that it was because, having been through what she went through, basically she couldn't. She said that she didn't want to have a show that reflected who she was before, because she wasn't that person anymore.
That's right, yeah.
And
understandably, I can completely get that.
You can't have gone through something like that and not be changed.
And then have to try and relive it again. Yeah,
exactly. So then the show was sort of rejigged. They reworked the set list, reworked costumes, and put some breaks in a show where perhaps there wouldn't have been some before, to give her extra time to change. And also they included an intermission just to be conscious of her workload. And she didn't know if she would be able to handle it. So it made perfect sense. But it led to the costume going from the blue that we knew into this iconic pink one.
Which is, I think, represents the breast cancer research and awareness as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. Was it a little nod perhaps to breast cancer awareness and her struggle?
Yeah.
With that, it was the first time that we'd seen Kylie back on stage. This was the costume, the moment that sort of did it. And I'm going to probably make you feel a little old now, but 2006, believe it or not, was the year that Twitter was introduced to the world.
Wow. Yeah.
So already there was media attention.
Yep.
Already there, it was a massive story. And then social media was taking off. I think YouTube had been launched the year before that and was sort of finding its feet. And the whole notion of a feed-based social platform was gaining traction too. So that this costume, that moment, and then plus what was happening within society at the time really meant that it sort of went everywhere.
It was instant.
It was in all the papers, magazines, it was all over the TV, and rightfully so, she was back.
Yeah, exactly. Did you want to tell us a bit more about how you felt when you saw your favourite piece up close?
Obviously, I completely loved it. But the thing that I mean, beyond the costume itself, that always intrigues me with stuff like that is, because as a fan, you're not privy to that information, but sort of how it's stored. And you know, and I know we've spoken a little bit during this podcast how it is for other items. This one too, they love a bit of archival tissue paper.
Yes, I think it needs it, the acid-free tissue,
It's wrapped in that as well, and sort of there's some padding that gets rolled up and creates like a pillow that goes within the bodice
itself.
It's
like a fabric bust, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Just to sort of preserve the folds, because they degrade over time and you don't want anything to sort of tear and damage. So given that we know a little bit now about the costume itself, what are your sort of personal memories and connections to the Showgirl costume?
I still remember being at home, and one of my friends went to the opening night in Sydney. Uh-huh. And I can remember getting text messages throughout, and she said, "It's just started, update, new costume, not blue, pink." So I was very interested to see. Yeah, I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And then going to the show and having that moment of applause that lasted so long, that it really was the energy in that room was electrified, and yeah, totally. I think she thrived off of that the whole show. But yeah, it was a moment. I really don't think I can think of a word to describe how I felt. It was that moment that we didn't know if it was going to come. Well, and actually being in the venue, knowing that we're here, she's here, the show's going to start, and yeah, the dimming of the house lights, the show starting, the overture, and then her coming back on stage as her homecoming in Melbourne.
Really, yes, because I had exactly the same kind of thing. It's special anywhere, but given that the tour was called Homecoming and Melbourne is her home, yeah, there was a sort of an extra kind of level of significance to that moment.
Yeah, knowing like when she mentioned that her family were there, like Danny was there, her brother was there, and her mum and dad were there, and I think even her Nain was there as well. To support her. Yeah. And she said, and you're all of my extended family as well, was really, really beautiful. And just hearing her asking people who held on to your original tickets, went straight up. Yeah, that was, as I said, I can't think of words to describe that moment because it was a moment we were so scared would never come.
Yeah, absolutely. Which made it even more special.
Yeah, exactly. It was just beautiful.
There's a thing that Kylie says is that always stuck with me, and she calls it her cosmic thing, and that it's really hard to explain. And that she says it's a collision of energy between herself and the audience, and that it's different every night. And for me, this costume represents visually that connection. Mm. And because of the background and the context of what led to the costume existing at all in the first place, and then the sort of journey and how long it took for that moment to happen, it really was a collision of energy. She was proud to be there. We were proud of her for making it to that point. Yeah. But it was presence.
Yeah.
And she was still in that moment, and it really was this kind of collision of energy.
So in regards to this costume, I know you've got a very, very, very special story to tell us.
So in the lead up to our first show in Melbourne, obviously I'd seen the press because it was everywhere, as we've mentioned, from the opening in Sydney. And it was 3 days out from our opening in Melbourne, and I don't even really know why it came to me, but I just got this urge to create a drawing of her in this costume. I think I wanted to just sort of memorialize the moment,
and then
give her something that captured that she could have, and that she could remember that moment with. And I started this drawing. I'd never really done a full color pencil portrait of anybody.
I've never seen you draw like I've seen you do with your amazing graphic design stuff, but this was a first.
Well, I love abstract, and I work in black and white, and I love lead. And so I thought, okay, well, it's a challenge for me too, but I just really wanted her to have it, basically.
Yeah.
And 3 days out, I think I slept 3 hours a night for those 3 nights. And I can't even really say I called it finished, because 1 hour before I had to leave to get to the venue, I put it in a frame, and I was like, right, we got to go, and it is what it is at this point. And I was going to actually meet you, because we were going to see her arrive at Rod Laver Arena in Melbourne. And hopefully if we could get it
just
to
a hello and type moment. Yeah. And if we know what those moments are like, oh, hi. And if you can, you take things by chance.
Exactly right. And also because it's a favorite of mine, this costume, because having spent that long looking at it, 3 days and 3 hours of sleep a night, there's a lot of looking at beads and feathers in that. It kind of revealed itself to me in that it was something that was fragile but powerful. It was strong but also incredibly feminine. And then more than anything, as I was drawing it, I was like, this is really triumphant.
Mm.
And that's sort
of a good word.
What made me then want to finish it, really, and get it to her. So we get to the show, I see you.
Yep.
And just by chance, her security person, Serena or Sonia.
Sonia or Serena.
It was Sonia.
They look very similar.
happened to walk past and we called her over and said, oh, we've got this. If you don't mind, could you please pass it on and give it to Kylie? So she did. And that was kind of it. I thought, oh, well, I got it to her. Mission accomplished. I hope she appreciated it.
Yeah.
And we were then, this show got released to, The White Dome and documentary, which chronicled her journey back to the stage,
yeah,
got released and was screened in cinemas. And I went with some other friends and we're there watching it. And there's the scene where Michael Gudinski is giving a toast in the dressing room.
That's right, yeah.
And I don't even know how I saw it, but in the right-hand corner on a console in the dressing room under the lamp, there's my drawing. And I nudged my friend at elbow. I was like, am I seeing things? Is that my drawing in the back of the thing? So I had my little sort of chuffed moment. I was like, oh, you know what? She did appreciate it. And then yeah. I thought about it and I thought, we saw her show one. Danny, I think, was...
Oh, I
later
think she did like
week.
About six shows because yeah. it was originally meant to be her birthday show.
That's
yeah.
right. So I thought, oh, wow, that thing stayed there that whole
she
time.
She took it on tour
yeah,
with
I
her.
Thought,
yeah.
Wow, she really did appreciate it.
Yeah. And because those items in that dressing room go on the road that, because yeah. it's their home away from home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was kind of had a little proud moment. I went, oh, amazing. She yeah. really liked it.
Yeah. I love listening to fan anecdotes like this. Like it can be anywhere around the world. People tell stories on Twitter or Facebook and I just love...
Absolutely.
Living their
yeah.
story.
Of course.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Well, because it invites them to think of their own. But yeah. also I see it even on the fan forums. There's other people that have done drawings and I always make sure I have like a little comment or, you know, give it a like. And
yeah.
Because I, as an artist, appreciate that.
Yeah.
But yeah, thinking that that was the end of it, we then, the next tour happened. It's X 2008.
Yes.
And you and I again saw that one together.
Yeah.
Ended up front row before the show started. And... Sonia happened to just walk past again and I'd created a card and letter that yep. just was a sort of thanks Kylie, saw my picture in the White Diamond documentary.
Yeah.
Really glad you appreciated it. Thank you. And on the envelope, I'd included a sort of envelope label that had the drawing on it.
Yeah.
And as we called Sonia over, she said, I told her that I had a letter that I wanted to give it to Kylie and she noticed the drawing and she said, oh, I remember this. She loved it.
Oh,
full circle moment.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Even if her team's even remembering it.
It made an impact.
That exactly.
Yeah.
And that's all
wow.
I wanted. So
yeah
quite obviously then for what it means and then my sort of personal story about it. This costume sort of
that's
is
like the seal of
special.
Approval. You yeah. can't get anything better. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So with that, we've come to the end of our podcast series. Yeah. And it's been one hell of a journey. This is something that I've never done before and it was very nerve-wracking. And, when approached, I was so excited. And I just knew that I had to touch base with you because of your amazing way of words, your detail in describing things and everything. And I don't think that I could have done this as a solo person. Oh. So... This has been emotional. This has been amazing. And I just want to thank everybody that contacted us and made us part of this amazing journey. Thank you.
And also thank you because it's no secret with people that know me that I don't like to do things publicly and I don't like to share too many things.
You're a very private individual, yeah.
I am and I have my opinions but I keep them to myself. So when you approached me, I... was like, no, not doing this. There's no way. That's not going to happen. But I'd been told previously by a clairvoyant that I needed to step out of my comfort zone. So before you'd even finished the end of your pitch, I went, yeah, we're doing this. Let's do this. And I'm so glad that I agreed to it. And look, let's be honest, Kylie Minogue isn't entirely out of the comfort zone area.
Yeah.
We're very familiar with her. She's been with us in terms of creating moments and experiences and friendships almost yeah. most of our lives. I think for me personally, given that sort of had happened, it became something that was incredibly transformative, just personally. I'm not the same person as I was before. It has completely been life-changing and And I have to thank you for inviting me to do this and let me get there. So thank you too.
I'm so glad to hear that. Again, when people floor me, I get lost for words. So yeah, you're so welcome.
It's my pleasure. And probably with that too, you know, people would ask me, the podcast is, you know, happening once it was sort of had gone live and it was out there, and they'd say, oh, you know, what's it about? And my answer, to be succinct, was it's a celebration of friendship and fandom through fashion in the world of Kylie.
Yeah.
And I hope that if you've been listening and following us through this whole time, that that's exactly what you've gotten out of it, that you've felt the kind of celebratory note that we've had with each costume and episode, and that through us sharing our stories, you've been able to reflect on your own, because as much as it is about us, they're our stories, it really isn't at all.
There's a bigger picture out there.
Completely.
There's everybody who's been listening. I've had people message me with interesting information about pieces that we've touched on, like the gold hot pants. Yes, there was somebody that was featured on Graham Norton that was the previous owner to the gold hot pants. And if it wasn't for fans that were listening in, we wouldn't know this.
That's right.
But even people sharing their personal stories about, like we've just touched on Kylie's breast cancer survival, and people told me that they're in tears from the first episode because Kylie is part of our lives, and we all have stories that do involve her. And I've had people that say that they've been in dark places, which I have too, and Kylie's survival made them want to live again, which really touches me.
Absolutely. And it's why we did this.
It's exactly right.
To have those kinds of moments and even more lighthearted things, like your story in episode 2 about not being able to watch Neighbours.
Yeah,
I had a very close friend. She messaged me straight away after she heard it. She's like, oh my God, he lived my life. I had that same thing too. Yeah. My mum wouldn't let me, and I had to turn channel when she went and picked up Dad from the train station. And that's what we've loved out of all of this. It was, you know, not to be self-indulgent, but to let people think about the moments and memories that Kylie had created
and
for them.
And help them, like spark that memory through their journey with Kylie and stuff as well. It's been beautiful and so rewarding. And I can't believe that people that we've never met before have been messaging us on socials and sharing their stories and, pardon the pun, but confiding in us.
Yeah. Exactly. And if you can, continue to do so. And now that we're at almost the very end of our podcast series, I just want to thank everyone at Art Centre Melbourne, the Australian Performing Arts Collection, the incredible team of people that allowed it to happen and make it possible. Our personal team, Ella, Nick, Claudia, Joy,
Story Electric, co-producing. We're not sitting at home in our bedrooms doing this. We're actually here, and we've got an amazing team of people that have helped create and bring this to life. And one person that we can't forget to finally thank is Kylie, because without her, we wouldn't be able to go on this journey. We wouldn't be able to share our stories. We wouldn't have other fans share their stories with us. And without her, there wouldn't be the Kylie Collection as well, without her generosity to the Australian Performing Arts Collection. So
without her, there's none of this. So thank you.
And it's only just going to get better from here, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's going to be more to enjoy.
Thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.